Hello and welcome to edition 231 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are sat at the iconic Rushcutters Public House on the outskirts of Norwich, our spiritual home. We are also going out on Future Radio, and we are here to review the Russian Grand Prix. I was going to put on a Russian accent, but I found I couldn't do it. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. Very good evening to you. Joining us on tonight's pod, we have two times Beckles kart champion Kyle Cumbers.
Good evening.
And F1 blogger and the man Lewis Hamilton fans love to hate. They're probably really loving to hate you at the moment, given how well it's going. Callum Springall. How are you doing, Callum? You all right?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thanks.
Good. Good, good. And now, hope all you guys out there are well too. You know the drill in terms of why we're here and what we're going to do, so we might as well get straight stuck into it. The Russian Grand Prix. Now, I did watch this live. I haven't watched that many races live, Kyle. And I enjoyed it, I think. I couldn't work out if it just became a damp squib and that everything was sort of revolving around Max Verstappen with a couple of laps on Lewis and Seb. Did you enjoy the race?
No. Mainly because of the big incident, I think that's the right word, of the Bottas-Hamilton swap. So kind of just made it a very predictable race. So I didn't really enjoy it because it was predictable. But Verstappen made it exciting. The first, it took him 7-8 laps to get to fifth, was it, something like that?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. There's a few little bits and pieces, but because it was so predictable, I'll give it a no.
How about you, Callum? One for the purists. I claim you as a purist. Or do I? Oh no, that's an interesting question. Are you a F1 purist?
In some respects, I think some people probably would say that I'm definitely not a purist, considering that I think the best form of racing is Formula 2, which isn't exactly pure, but it really wasn't a good race. It was just another sort of display of how unraceable these cars are. Like, you have Hamilton, Vettel and Bottas all line astern for whatever it was, 40 odd laps, and then they can't even get past or even get close to Verstappen when he's been on tyres for 10 or 12 laps longer than they have. So just a bit of a shower of really.
Well, there you go. And the way your nose was wrinkling up at that point, Callum said it all too. I mean, we didn't even have the, well, we'll talk maybe about Red Bull later, but we didn't have the pure speed argument for Max Verstappen roasting Daniel Ricciardo either, did we? Because he had some problem with his front wing. Unless they just changed his front wing to make it look like that was why he was slow, which is also a possibility, I guess. First of all, I guess we have to count ourselves very fortunate and lucky and thankful that there wasn't a penalty for Sebastian Vettel when we actually had that one bit of racing. Because if you have one bit of racing and then you get a penalty for racing, that's not good for racing, is it really? But, of course, away from that is the huge controversy. I was at work today and someone walked past and said, oh, who won the Grand Prix? I said, Lewis Hamilton won the Grand Prix, but Valtteri Bottas should have won the Grand Prix, and he moved over to let Lewis Hamilton win the Grand Prix, and the guy said, pah, that's not sport, and walked off, which I guess is kind of the casual fan's view of this whole thing. But it is sport, because Mercedes are trying to win something, and they have a team of two drivers, and regardless of who wants to win what individually, clearly it's in their judgment to then decide what they do. Now, whether that judgment is right or wrong is a different matter entirely. But clearly, a lot of people aren't very happy because cars switch places rather than racing. Kyle, how did you see it? Are you livid?
Not livid. It's not. It's not good to see, because you want a pure race between the two Mercedes drivers. But as I said, it's a sport. Mercedes want Lewis Hamilton to win the championship because he's the only Mercedes driver that can win a championship at the moment. So it's a decision they had to make. In sport, not every decision is for entertainment. It's because Mercedes and Toto Wolff, for example, needs to go to the board of Mercedes and go, yes, we won the drivers' championship. They don't want to go to the last race and it all goes wrong in the last race and they lose the championship. And if they hadn't done that, or if they, which one way goes right in there, get myself confused, yeah, they didn't do that. They lost the championship in the last race. Then Toto Wolff would have some questions to answer. But it's just, I'm just surprised that people seem surprised that it happened. It's been Formula One for years. I mean, you know, Formula One when drivers used to get out of their cars and let their teammate, the number one driver, jump in their car. Yeah, it's just part of Formula One history.
It's a bit like watching a Tony Pulis football team. Because
beware soccer reference.
Because it's like they, you know exactly what to expect from a Pulis team. It's just they put two massive strikers up front, hoof it long, and get a shit-housey 1-0 win.
I guess we're talking Belichick, aren't we, in terms of NFL? I'm thinking Patriots. They'd be equivalent to Tony Pulis in soccer, wouldn't they? I think Kyle's shaking his head. He hasn't got a clue. That's what I'm going for. Belichick, Patriots, Tony Pulis, times football teams.
Yeah, and Mercedes, at least this weekend, were kind of the Formula One equivalent of it. And I totally get why they've done it, and I would totally get why you would do it if you're Tony Pulis, because come on, he's probably got players, let's be honest. So, like, you can't really say from a Mercedes perspective that it doesn't make sense, because you have a choice that you can potentially have Bottas backing up Hamilton. If he makes a mistake, he's potentially f***ed. And that could let Vettel back into the championship picture slightly. And it's just a fact that you're going to be a lot healthier if your lead is 50 points rather than 30 something or 40 odd. That said, it is painfully boring.
Especially in a boring race, I guess, with a want of a better word. But you were quite annoyed on Twitter, weren't you, Kyle? That Mercedes didn't really preempt what happened, as if they hadn't had a discussion or hadn't been able to make life easier for themselves by, you know, thinking that it might happen before the race.
Well, apparently it didn't come up in the pre-race team meeting, which is just bizarre, because surely everybody was thinking about it as soon as Bottas qualified on pole on Saturday. Surely that they tell us they go through every scenario and simulate every different scenario, but surely Bottas being in first and Hamilton being in second halfway through a race was surely a good chance of that happening. So that just seemed bizarre. And also the other part, I saw the Bottas pitted straight away, also pitted, and then Hamilton didn't pit the following lap, and apparently because Toto Wolff was discussing with their chief strategist. It just seemed like Mercedes were completely confused by the whole situation of Bottas being ahead. So it's just bizarre.
They do have that tendency, don't they? Now, and I might have got the wrong end of the stick, because that is happening quite a lot at the moment, but the reason Mercedes did it was to really cover off Verstappen, wasn't it? Or was it more about Vettel in terms of letting... Why did they do the switch? I thought it was because they were worried about Verstappen.
I think they were, because they said that Hamilton had a small blister on his rear tyres, and they were worried, I think, Vettel overtaking Hamilton, but I don't know if that was just... I should have...
Because the point, therefore, is could they not have just switched them at the end? Like, if it was to cover a issue off during the race in case it happened, and then it clearly wasn't going to happen, could they not have just switched them back? And they have done that before. They actually have previous of having done that. I can't remember which race it was, Austria or something like that.
Hungary last year.
So could they not have just done that? Because it's all very well Lewis coming out going, wow, this was great, you know, I feel terrible, and poor Valtteri. It's like, well, dude, just let him pass on the last lap and everyone's alright.
Well, if it was just the worry of Hamilton being overtaken by Vettel, but surely it's just a championship decision. I don't know why they just didn't come out as part of the, as I said before, why isn't this part of the scenario beforehand that Bottas knew that at a certain point he'd have to let Hamilton by if they were 1-2?
That's almost it. Valtteri needed to know, look, if Lewis is behind you, you're not going to win the race, because we need Lewis to win the race, because that's basically what's happened if it wasn't to cover off the scenario. And I mean, that is pretty shit. Really,
it's like their equivalent. I mean, the small blister is like the Mercedes vernacular for Fernando is faster than you. It's like there is a
Lewis has a small blister. Bottas, do you understand? Nope. Don't know what you're trying to tell me.
It's like, okay, there's a 1% chance we might be just do it anyway.
But Bottas held up Raikkonen in Monza, so it's obviously it's all part of the, it's been their plan since the summer break, so it just seemed strange that it was not planned beforehand. If you want to, Bottas ahead of Hamilton at some point, you'll have to let him by.
Are we happy with, I don't know if it's me getting old or becoming a dad, but are we happy with how everyone reacted and what happens next? Because I did feel for Valtteri, but I kind of feel, you know what, you deserve something now. But I don't want him just to be gifted the last race if it comes in. So that doesn't really help either. So I don't know what the deal is here, because I'm going to get to the point where I want him to be, you know, to really have a to get a championship. He's probably not quick enough or consistent enough, because we've had that debate over the last 2 years. So I don't know what Valtteri gets now, but it's like, it's probably not going to be what you deserve in a way.
Okay, we all feel a bit sorry for him because he had bad luck at the start of the year. Two Grand Prix he could have won with a bit more luck, China and Baku. So I suppose we feel a bit sorry for him, and he does appear to be a nice guy. But if Hamilton does win the championship with a few races to go, then I'm sure he can win a few races, because Hamilton never wins a race after he's won a championship. So
okay, tell you what, Lewis, off. Give the car to George Russell, give him a few races, and then Valtteri can win something without Lewis even being on the grid. That's what I would do.
To be fair, George Russell would probably still beat him.
Oh, it'd be nice to find out, Cullen. Right, a quick reminder, the best places to interact with us are on social media. Cullen's doing an awesome job on the Twitter feed, and you can follow that at the NRF1. It's also the same handle for our Instagram, Facebook page, and there is a Facebook group too if you wish to join that. Get involved, and we love getting your emails to nrf1podcast@gmail.com, all tied in by the website nrf1.uk. Right, let's fire up these NRF1 pit stops. Let's stop off at Ferrari, shall we? I think the last time I did a podcast, it was seen pretty clear cut to me they were not winning anything this year. I now feel two races further down the line, super vindicated, and I don't use the word super lightly. I mean, there was almost a bizarre sense of euphoria at Ferrari getting a strategy call right, only for the car's pace to completely let them down as Lewis just flew past him. So ultimately, I don't know where the pace has gone, but it has gone, hasn't it? Or it certainly did around Sochi anyway.
Well, they introduced a new rear suspension, I think, and didn't realise until Saturday morning, I think, that it didn't work. So then they've ended up with a car that has no rear grip, and I'm pretty sure at some point I noticed through the weekend that Ferrari had more angle on the rear wing than Mercedes did, which I suppose probably explains how Hamilton closed in so quickly on the straight up to turn two. But yeah, I mean, it's like, you, if you watch weekends where there's a washout on the Friday, for example, and the teams only have practice running on Saturday morning, they have no idea of the setup. And that's the same effect for Ferrari, except everyone that they were racing did have an idea of where they were going on setup. So that probably is where it comes from, because they're not going to be that far off without, like, just by magic.
Funny position where it sort of leaves Ferrari, I guess, going forward. And Sebastian, I mean, he's had a good car, and he just, I mean, we can probably list three or four maybe career championship defining mistakes that he's made or been on the wrong end of. Almost his luck's just been out, so it's difficult appraising where he is and what happens next year, because, you know, he hasn't got Kimi next year. It's going to be a really different dynamic around the team.
That's, I think, a sort of little kick he possibly needs, because I see he has made a few mistakes this year, made mistakes last year. Probably over the season, the Mercedes and Ferrari has been just about even. I suppose different tracks have been.
There's the trademark Callum.
I'm pretty sure this is the first time that Mercedes have been quicker by any discernible margin since Paul Ricard. I think pretty much every race apart from that, Ferrari have been at least on Mercedes level, if not slightly quicker.
Which, if that is true, is like, because they just haven't turned that into points and results.
Well, yeah, because there's a few different factors, mostly relating to Vettel, partly relating to strategy. Do you think Monza, not being quick enough in the wet in Hungary in qualifying, going off in Germany where he was pretty much guaranteed at the very least second place, and that was if he f***ed up still. How many others? Baku cost himself probably about 20 odd points relative to Hamilton. So if you take out all of those, he's probably comfortably ahead at the minute. And there are just so many different issues at Ferrari that it just doesn't look like it's going to turn around particularly swiftly.
Okay, so this is a Ferrari pit stop, but in that case, doesn't Lewis Hamilton deserve huge credit for, you know, being in the position he is in, effectively a slower car?
He deserves credit because he's not made the same massive mistakes that Vettel has at points.
It's just like prodding a lion, really. It's so easy. I love it.
But I don't think he's quite up to the almost the level of the deity that some people think he is.
There it is. I just deliver the goods for you. It's all fine. Let's stop off. We'll talk lots more about Ferrari's failings, I'm sure, over the coming weeks as the season rounds up. Unless, of course, they win both championships. Who knows? It's not over yet, is it, Kyle?
No, not over at all.
No. When will it be over? Have we had those calculations yet?
Let's have a little
Kyle frantically searching on his
head.
So probably to Mexico.
Mexico again?
Again.
Yeah, Mexico again.
Long gone are the days where the championship was decided in Japan, which is probably a good thing because it means it's closer. He
better
said.
Makes a dive down the inside to mess us all up and like last
doesn't
year.
Grow, John.
Yeah.
And the constructors' championship.
If Hamilton wins the championship in Mexico, and then Vettel wins Brazil, and Bottas wins Abu Dhabi with a Mercedes 1-2. I think we know exactly what to expect from next year. It's just going to be this year all over again. Because this year's just been last year all over again.
It's a new era of Formula One. The same era as the last one. Red Bull, let's stop off of that. We did talk about Max a little bit earlier. I mean, I found this quite frustrating because it was a phenomenal drive for so long. And then did they just kind of get it wrong with the tyres they stuck him on at the end?
What was this with? Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Oh, Callum. Is it because it wasn't Lewis? Because they put... did they not put Max on the Super Sots? Ultras and not the Hypers? They didn't put him on the Hypers, did they? When theoretically it was 11 laps and I guess they thought they might have been quicker on it.
No, they lasted for what? 10 laps or so at the start of the race, and that was with a lot of nursing. If you really wanted to catch Raikkonen, you wanted them to basically push every lap, more or less. So I would have thought the ultra soft is a more consistent tyre and one that you can push towards the end, but if they're the ones that have the data and they've made that decision, then you would assume they've made the right one.
Yeah, no, that is true. They do know a lot more than me.
Because Renault also went on the ultra softs at the end, and I mean, they don't like the softer tyres anyway, but they went Grosjean, even though it took Hülkenberg on his old set of softs, so the... So the ultras just didn't seem to work towards the end of the race.
That was the thing. I think it was the rate at which Max's pace just dropped off. And, you know, he went in the pits going, OK, well, let's see if he can close on Raikkonen. And he basically ended up just going backwards.
Yeah, I think he said they turned down the engine, but...
For sake. Well, that won't help, but...
Yeah, you still give it a go, wouldn't you, for a while. So maybe they just realised straight away that these tyres aren't any good. Yeah, it's a shame. This was quite lucky for Ferrari, because it would have been interesting to see if Red Bull didn't have the engine penalties, they'd been at the front, especially Verstappen. If he'd have, he probably would have been third, probably. So they're quite lucky.
I suppose Max probably absolutely smashed his car in the first 10, 15 laps, maybe, which is why they had to turn the engine down later on.
Possibly, full hammer time.
So. How much can we get away with this? And so Danny Ricciardo, we're giving him some leeway because his car was a bit screwed for the lap, or is he really that far behind Max Verstappen in pace now as he prepares himself for the challenge of Renault?
Did you know this weekend was the first time that he'd started ahead of Verstappen since Monaco?
Really?
Yep.
I mean, that
the last time that he started ahead of Verstappen stuffed it in the wall, so he was basically ahead of him by default, albeit with a rather good pole lap, I'll admit. But I think Ricciardo's just shown that he's not on Verstappen's level anymore.
Is there a degree that, because he's got his drive, his move, he's obviously fell out of love with Red Bull, it must be horrific in that situation when you know you're going to another team anyway. It's a really difficult situation. So do we have to cut him some slack in that? That, you know, he's not on it and it's not a level playing field?
Monaco.
Yeah.
hell of a long time.
Yeah, I mean, just, Max is quicker than him, and that's why he's gone to Renault, isn't it?
Yeah, he's forced him out, hasn't he?
Let's be on effect.
Well said, Callum. Force India was the other of our three initial pit stops I wanted to make. Well, that was fun, wasn't it? I did lose track of it. I've got to be honest. In that, you know, it's like, well, we're going to give you two laps, and then eight laps later, you really need to be getting past him now. Well, all right, and then they sort of switch back, and then I don't know what they did then. What did they do, Callum? Can you sum it up?
So Ocon was following Magnussen.
Yeah.
Obviously, couldn't overtake him because the cars are so to race.
I did like, by the way, you've got like three laps to overtake him, and he's like 3 seconds behind. I'm like, well, that's just point. He's clearly not going to overtake him.
I was just watching it thinking, it doesn't matter what they do, they're not getting past him because the stops are finished, so they're stuffed. And they said, oh, we'll give you three laps, then change the positions so Perez was in front, because Perez started whinging and wanting him to be in front of Ocon. He still couldn't get past Magnussen. I don't even think he got within DRS range of him. So that goes to show everything.
Has that ever worked? And a few teams have done it over the years, haven't they? Sort of been stuck behind another car. I can't remember a situation where it's ever actually worked.
It's a last resort.
Yeah.
if you do that, you know it's not going to work anyway. So you're just not really throwing everything at it, but you're trying the last thing on your list.
Oh, well, literally, let him have a go and see if he can do it. He won't be able to do it, but at least he'll stop whinging at us, and then we just switch him back anyway.
It's kind of that,
it's like
it?
Managing kids.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of takes the driver in second place out of the teammates to whinge for so long that they go, okay, fine, you can have a go.
When they were racing Hülkenberg, that made no sense because they were just losing time by switching positions. It's like, just keep going.
Fiddling while Rome burns. Brilliant stuff. Oh, just a correction from earlier. I, of course, said that Max went, didn't go onto the hypersofts, and of course what I meant was he didn't go onto the softs. There will be more pit stops and chat about the 2018 Russian Grand Prix, the talking points, all that sort of stuff, alongside the major Formula One discussions coming our way in our exclusive Patreon podcast. You can find that at patreon.com/NRF1 right after this podcast. So of the weekend's time, this is always a lovely bit, isn't it? I'm going to be led by you guys, though, so let's do it. Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver of the week. Callum?
Can only be one person, can't it?
Yeah, go on.
Charles Leclerc.
Yeah, yeah. Where did he actually finish in the end?
Seventh.
Yeah, middle of nowhere. He was 16 seconds ahead of Magnussen, which is quite a lot, really, isn't it?
All based on his one overtake?
It's a good overtake.
How excited are you about him racing for Ferrari next year? In a few words, because I know you answered this to Ped a couple of weeks ago.
My expectations are tempered, but in the medium to longer term, I think it's quite promising.
It's written all over his face. He's f***ing cannot wait. He cannot wait. Carl, who's your driver of the day? That's the F1 one. Your driver of the weekend.
Let's go for... I guess it's somebody random.
Lewis Hamilton.
Let's go Bottas.
Yeah, well, to be honest.
Yeah, Bottas.
I was going to say Valtteri.
Yeah.
Pole position.
The king of Russia.
He would have won it anyway. He would have won it anyway. If it hadn't been for his stupid team, said some people. Team of the weekend then, Mercedes, yeah. Ultimately, they were the pure team because they f***ed over everyone else. But I'm happy to take other suggestions.
You can't really go for anyone else. It's not like you can say Force India.
Ironically, you probably could.
Sauber?
Third. Ericsson?
It was 13th.
But there's Ericsson, isn't it? So.
Norfolk Zone. Norfolk Zone.
He's alright.
Who else is Norfolk Zone? Jackie Stewart. Jackie Stewart.
He did a non-championship race once for Lotus.
Definitely. So. Yep, honorary Norfolkian. There was someone else as well, wasn't there?
And Juan Pablo Montoya.
Yes.
He drove for Comtech when he won Formula 3000.
And who else was it who drove for Comtech when you said that the other week? Was that Ocon?
Ocon. Yes. And Taki Inoue also did.
There we
go. What a list. We're going to have to draw up this list at some point. All the drivers to have driven for local teams in any sport ever. Or just in Norfolk in their car. Pastor Maldonado the weekend. Toto?
That's a difficult one. Raikkonen? Just for being incredibly boring in a way.
It was a bit more snowman than Iceman this weekend.
I think that we got our title there. Well done, Callum.
Van Dorn, because I think that's harsh on Van Dorn.
Renault.
Yeah, Renault, actually. Yeah, it's shocking from Renault.
It was, wasn't it? They were nowhere near it.
I was talking about housing your way to a 1-2. They housed their way to 11th and 12th on the grid. They could barely scrape into Q1.
Literally, housing themselves to pointlessness. And our Giuliano Salvi moment of the weekend. Well, hearing him on the radio was one. And in fact, Kevin was a bit racy, wasn't he? K-Mag, suck my balls. It was a few moments where he got a bit carried away. And I mean, go on. You make your suggestions.
Probably because kind of got lost in the whole Mercedes thing, but Hamilton's overtake on Vettel. If we hadn't had the Mercedes thing, and that'd been maybe with the lead, that'd have been what we were probably talking about, because I thought it was a pretty good overtake. Yeah, probably go for that. And I think Hamilton patting Vladimir Putin sort of on the arm. Mm-hmm. I thought not many people have done that, probably. No.
Certainly twice.
What would you do though if you found out that his jacket was coated in nerve agent?
Yeah, well, die probably. It's ultimately what you do. I thought you were going to say that he patted Valtteri Bottas at some point on the head, but you know, it was a bit like that, wasn't it, by then? But it was a brilliant overtake. I thought the way he just did Seb on the brakes was fantastic. And the moments before, are we happy that it was a racing incident? Because no, I didn't actually get your opinion on it.
Just
it's quite marginal. Like, Hamilton was never really alongside him anyway. And there was, from the point that Vettel started moving again, there wasn't really room anyway. It was a little bit like Spain in 2016. Like, the gap was always closing and Hamilton was always going for it when he could have just gone to the other side.
Good stuff, boys. Good stuff. Right, race rating. I don't know what we, or you guys, I should say, gave Singapore. Don't think it was a lot because it was race. I think it was under 7. At the moment, I have written them down. Monaco is in last place. Azerbaijan leads with Germany 3rd, Italy 2nd. So that's interesting. And we haven't got a rating. We didn't do Russia last year, probably because it was really early. We only started doing these ratings about 8 races into last season. So this is, of course, the year that Russia's moved to the end of the calendar. What a treat that proved to be. What do you want to give it? Anyone? The Monaco was 5.25 out of interest, but it wasn't as bad as Monaco, I guess.
I think it was probably as bad as Monaco.
Yeah?
Nearly. It's on that same awful level. Not awful, it's a bit harsh.
Okay, well, look, I'm going to go 5.5. Yeah. So that is slightly above Monaco.
Yeah.
The ball is in your court.
5.5.
I'll agree, 5.5, yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Yep,
that was easy. Which makes it... Well, Spain was worse than that. I can't even remember Spain. But that would make it the 3rd worst race this year. Which seems fair.
That's probably about right.
Yeah. Well done, boys. Terrific effort. Short one to finish. Who will have the biggest smile heading home on their private jet plane from Sochi?
Daniel Ricciardo.
Ah! It was either that or Lewis.
I'm not sure if he actually went, but Kvyat.
Yes. He was just sitting on his plane on the runway because he's parked down the road. Yes, which does is a good point, Carl, because we will be talking about the driver changes in our Patreon podcast, EP231. Yeah, EP231. At patreon.com/NIF1. But of course you can catch all these podcasts via the usual means, and make sure you do that by subscribing so you don't miss any. nrf1.uk/podsubscribe is the way to find most of the links. I do keep saying these are up to date and I don't think I've updated them on the website, but I will do. If there's any missing or you want to know any details, anything's missing, email us nrf1podcast@gmail.com. and if you're listening to us on your podcast app on iTunes, then give us a rate and a review because we like those. nrf1.uk/is on iTunes, or of course if you're various players have ratings, leave one there too.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
Next up, Japan. Now this is classic, isn't it? We all love Suzuka. This is exciting stuff. Great track, proper weekend, just at a really awkward time if you live in England, yeah? And the US. I mean, the US guys and girls must have to get up at...
It's late evening, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Jammy.
I think the Japanese Grand Prix is their American Grand Prix for us.
Yeah. Lucky guys.
Like 5 hours behind America, East Coast.
Yeah.
So, was it 6 o'clock start here?
Yeah.
It's be, yeah, midnight.
Dan's roughly right, yeah. Wow. Oh, no. Oh, well, we don't know what a world clock is. But anyway, Japan's great.
Oh, it's cracking us. We love it. Also, yeah, I enjoy actually getting up a ridiculous hour of the morning. Especially a few years ago when qualifying was cancelled. So I'm getting up early.
10?
Something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they stuck it on the morning of the race, didn't they?
Yeah. There was some speculation they were going to do it by car number order.
Oh, see, do that shit. Although, they should do a reverse car number order. But they couldn't do that now, could they? Because, I mean, they don't have any relevance in their numbers. Qualifying setup, that's probably something else we should talk about in the Patreon podcast. We won't do it now. Don't worry. Now, predictions. I missed predictions last weekend, which for Singapore, it's the first time. No, for Russia, sorry. It's the first time I've missed a set of predictions this season. I'm sure it didn't do anyone any benefits or harm. I haven't updated any of the standings. I hope you will all appreciate that. I have been... I was on the way to doing it, and I will have it done. So just ask you to bear with me over that. But that does mean we can all make a prediction now ahead of Suzuka. So I'm going to say Charles Leclerc will finish outside the points. Sorry, Cal.
That's blasphemy.
Yeah. It's all gone to his head. I don't know. Literally a punt. Kyle.
Japanese related prediction with Toro Rosso in Q3. Their super duper engine, apparently the Suzuka spec Honda engine that they're going to turn up with. That's going to be amazing.
The one that didn't work in practice in Russia.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I was going to say, have they spent all season putting this one engine together, forsaking their actual engine that they're racing with for the rest of the season?
Wasn't there like a typhoon heading for Japan? Yeah. So probably won't make any difference. But okay. So. Yeah.
Could be a wipeout. Have we had any sort of washout weekend? I can't, like, as in no. We haven't had a half points issue for a while, have we? Because that's normally what happens if it's like.
The last one was nearly 10 years ago. So it was Malaysia 2009.
Would you one?
Sorry?
Would you one?
Yes. So hopefully not.
Is that your prediction? Callum, is that your prediction?
I'm not going to go for a washout or for half points or anything like that, but I'll say.
Wet race.
There'll be at least.
It's going to be a typhoon, so I think they're going to use wet tyres. No, intermediates.
There'll be at least 2 rain affected sessions over the weekend.
Okay. 2 wet sessions, love it. Well, wet session includes inters, so piece of cake, you'll be well in. So we'll do all the rest of our predictions for Japan over in the Patreon podcast. And of course, if any of you guys want to join in, all you need to do is get in your predictions. You can make up to 5 of them, and you can submit them on all the usual social media channels. If you've been doing that over the last few months, and well, basically season, I have got them all, don't worry, they're all logged. It's just a question of bringing everything up to date. So thank you all for getting involved. And of course, the best patron scores from each of you after each race weekend will win a £5 voucher for either motorsport-merchandise.com or the Classic Team Lotus shop. So well worth it. We'll have all those totals at the end of the season, just to give myself a bit of time to put that together. And also in the Patreon podcast, we will put together our latest standings on the Fantasy League team, which I'm sure is absolutely flying because we've made a real success of that. I would just like to say at this point that I would like to dedicate this podcast to my dear dad, who did die at the start of the month, which is obviously very sad and very tough. Dad was the one who got me into Formula One, although I don't think he ever listened to this podcast. And therefore spent a fair amount of my childhood telling me that Michael Schumacher was cheating and that Damon Hill was a legend. So quite a standard British Formula One fan upbringing there. So thank you, Dad. And here's to the podcast going forward. We are done for tonight. Remember, if you want to hear any more from us about the Sochi action and talking points, and of course our full Suzuka predictions and opinions on the big F1 news and other stuff, who knows what we'll talk about, you can take in our exclusive Patreon podcast. And to do that, all you need to do is check in at patreon.com, patreon.com/nrf1. We will return with E232, our Japanese Grand Prix review with another bonus Patreon edition included, all shortly after round 17 of the 2018 Formula One Championship. In the meantime, thanks to Future Radio, and of course, goodbye to these guys. To Callum, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Carl. Goodbye.
Cheerio.
From me, goodbye. This has been the NRF1 podcast. Here's to Japan. We'll see you on the other side. Until then, good night!